Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, once in a while you come across a publication that contains such interesting information that you want to share it with our audience. And in today's program, a couple of articles in the 2017 November-December issue of Creation Matters is one of those cases.
Yes, Scott, Creation Matters is published by the Creation Research Society, and it's one of my favorite journals, or as the Society calls it, newsletter. The articles are written so non-experts can understand them, and believe me, I'm not an expert in all these different fields by any means, and there's always lots of photos and diagrams, and the articles cover the latest discoveries related to creation science, as well as creation versus evolution issues, and commentary on the latest happenings in the evolutionary science community. Now, I would highly recommend anyone interested in this kind of reading to look into joining the Creation Research Society, because that's the only way to get Creation Matters, the current ones anyway.
But don't you have to be a scientist to join the Creation Research Society?
No, you don't, Scott. Now, to be a voting member, you need to have a graduate degree in some field of science. But to be a regular member, there's simply a statement of faith you must be able to sign, and you pay the membership fee. And that gets you not only the bi-monthly Creation Matters newsletter, but the quarterly publication, Creation Research Society Quarterly, or the CRSQ Journal, which is much more technical and, frankly, not for everyone. But for someone who wasn't interested in such a technical journal, you know, they could do their local Christian school library a favor and give the journal to them. Or maybe you have a friend who's able to appreciate such a journal. You could give it to them. I think the Creation Matters journal alone is worth the price of membership. And finally, if you want to see what it's like, you can see past issues, which are a year or more old, on the creationresearch.org website and check them out. On their homepage, and again, that's creationresearch.org, on the homepage, click on the Publications button and then the Creation Matters button, and you'll have access to all the journals for the past like 20 years.
Wow.
Just not the most recent ones.
And since you brought it up, what is the price of membership so someone can get the Society's publications?
Well, the regular membership is $26 a year, and there's even a discount for students. And you'll be glad to know you don't get pummeled with gobs of mass mailings from Creation Research Society, but you do get an occasional catalog listing of all the literature and videos they have available with some pretty nice discounts. So now that I've promoted the Creation Research Society, for which I get no kickback, by the way, I want to talk about a couple of the articles in their most recent issue of Creation Matters.
Okay, and again, for our listeners' information, that's the November-December 2017 issue.
Correct. And the article I want to read from and talk about is called Speaking of Science, from the Creation Evolution Headlines by David Coppedge. Now, Scott, we've discussed on many occasions the soft tissue being discovered in dinosaur fossils and the implications that has for the age of those artifacts.
Seems like that's becoming more common.
It sure is. But what we haven't discussed much is the fact that these unfossilized tissues are not just being found in dinosaur bones, but in all kinds of animal remains that, according to the evolutionary deep time estimates, are millions and millions of years old. And recently now, soft tissue has been found and characterized in a sea turtle and a bird that has the scientific community flabbergasted again. The evolutionary scientific community, that is. So the headline in the first article we're going to consider is Original Proteins Found in Fossil Sea Turtle. And it says this: the fossil of a sea turtle said to be 54 million years old still has original proteins of pigment and muscle. A press release from the North Carolina State University, dated October 17, 2017, drops another bomb on deep time, even though the researchers, including co-author Mary Schweitzer, do not doubt the age of the fossil at 54 million, quote-unquote, Darwin years. That is an awful lot of time for original biomolecules to be preserved.
Wait, Mary Schweitzer, isn't she the scientist who published a lot of controversial research on soft tissue and dinosaur fossils?
Excellent memory, Scott. That's right. Dr. Schweitzer had to endure a lot of criticism and questioning when she claimed she'd found 68-million-year-old unfossilized organic tissues in T-Rex and other dinosaur bones, but she persevered and has, for the most part, convinced her evolutionary colleagues that the tissue is truly original dinosaur tissue.
But she still believes it's millions of years old.
Yep. Let me read from the press release. Quote, researchers from North Carolina State, Lund University in Sweden, and the University of Hyogo in Japan have retrieved original pigment, beta keratin, and muscle proteins from a 50-million-year-old sea turtle hatchling. The work adds to the growing body of evidence supporting persistence of original molecules over millions of years, and also provides direct evidence that a pigment-based survival trait common to modern sea turtles evolved at least 54 million years ago. Unquote. Then continuing from what they write in this Speaking of Science article, the fossil was found in Denmark in 2008, but soft tissue remains were not recovered until 2013. Johan Lindgren of Lund University performed multiple tests to analyze the remains. He found organelles he suspected were melanosomes, the structures that provide coloration. And he brought in other researchers for further analysis, and they confirmed the presence of components of blood, pigment, and protein. Now, here's another quote from the press release. Co-author Mary Schweitzer, professor of biological sciences at North Carolina State, performed the histochemical analyses of the sample, finding that it tested positive against antibodies for both alpha and beta keratin, hemoglobin, and tropomyosin, a muscle protein. University of Hyogo evolutionary biologist Takio Kuriyama further confirmed the findings.
Dr. Scripture, I have a question about how they did this research to verify what they were finding. What did antibodies have to do with it? I mean, did they find antibodies in the turtle's blood?
That's a great question, Scott. And the answer is no. The antibodies were made in the lab to use as identifiers of the specific proteins recognized by those specific antibodies they were using. The way it works is you make antibodies against a specific protein, collect those antibodies, and then use them to test for that protein in an unknown sample. If the protein the antibody attacks is present in the unknown sample, the antibodies do what they do in our body. Thousands of the antibodies stick to their target protein and cause the proteins to start precipitating or clumping up. And it's pretty easy to see the reaction. In that way, you know the precise protein the antibody recognizes is present in your sample. Now, there are also antibody assays that use markers on the antibodies themselves that show up under a microscope. But the bottom line is, you see a reaction by the antibodies only if their target, it's called an antigen, is present. And the recognition by the antibody is extremely specific.
Okay, I think I get it, and I've heard that word antigen before.
Mm-hmm.
So the scientists are not finding antibodies in the soft tissue. They're using antibodies to find certain proteins in the soft tissue.
Exactly. And so now I'll read more of the article. Schweitzer, in an apparent preemptive strike at skeptics, stated that confirmation of these particular proteins rules out contamination because bacteria don't make eukaryotic melanin or keratin. And what she's getting at there is these antibodies were specific for these eukaryotic proteins, the melanin and the keratin. Our Speaking of Science article goes on then to refer to another article, not the press release from North Carolina State University, but an article that was published in Nature Scientific Reports. And this open access paper, also published in October of 2017, calls the specimen, quote, arguably one of the best preserved juvenile fossil sea turtles on record, unquote. Traces of soft tissue were preserved, quote, unquote, with great fidelity. What was found was original, unmineralized material. Now remember, they are claiming that these tissues are 54 million years old.
Mm. interesting context to use a term like juvenile.
Yeah, and there's more. It says the evolutionary speculation and dates are not derived from the observations, of course. It's important to recall that until recently, no one expected original proteins to survive even 100,000 years, let alone millions of years. So how do the researchers explain this extraordinary preservation of material in this fossil labeled MHM-K2 that should be long gone? Well, here's how. They say, we hypothesize that calcium ions and other trace elements adsorbed onto the surface of the carcass during the microbially mediated formation of the calcium concretion in which MHM-K2 was found. Mild geothermal conditions might then have limited further breakdown of the stabilized organics. So basically, they're saying that it was in a cool, a cool mud or something. I mean, it's truly mind-boggling.
This might have happened, which might have caused this, which might have led to that.
You know, this wasn't a minus 70-degree cryogenic freezer. We're talking out in nature. In any event, that was how they explained it. Finally, then, the Speaking of Science article says, since dinosaur soft tissues and proteins have been found twice as old as those in this sea turtle, long-age evolutionists are panicking. They are scrambling to downplay the findings or pretending soft tissue is exciting because it can shed light on evolution. These are simply distractions from the danger their worldview is in. The Darwin hot air balloon can only hold a finite number of fossils with soft tissue before it comes crashing to the ground. Keep piling them up in the gondola and turn on those video cams, everyone. Let the public see the collapse. And that's the end of this article. And as we've pointed out, what we're finding just more and more, Scott, is these soft tissues being found in all sorts of remains. And the explanations by the evolutionists who believe in these millions of years are becoming, well, frankly, sillier and sillier.
Well, Dr. Scripture, so far we've only addressed one of the two articles we've mentioned at the beginning of the program. So are we going to talk about the other article?
Well, we obviously don't have time, but I do want to talk about it. So people will have to wait till next week to hear about a fossilized bird and the stuff that they found in it. But for today, we'll conclude by simply thinking about the fact that all these animals that were buried, it's an amazing variety of them, and we'll talk about that next week. Where did they come from? Well, most likely source was from the flood, but it could be that they were just caught in a little flood or caught in a volcanic eruption after the flood. The bottom line is they were creatures that God created back in Genesis on day 5 and 6. And some of them survived the flood by being on Noah's Ark. And this is what God told Noah to do after the flood. In Genesis 8, verse 17, bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may breed abundantly on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.